God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is Sunday, the 15th day of January, 2012, and you're listening to our evening worship. Our sermon is preached by Brother Rodney Johnson, missionary to the Haitian people in South Florida and Haiti. It is entitled, "Will You Hamstring Your Horses?" So thanks for listening, and we know you'll be blessed from the preaching of God's Word.
Joshua chapter 11, starting in verse 1. "And it came to pass, when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron," "to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshah, and to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and of the plains south of Chinnereth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite, and to the Hittite, and to the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots very many. And when all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them all up slain before Israel. Thou shalt hold their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came and all the people of war with him against them by the waters of Merom suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto great Zidon and unto that great big long inward and unto the valley of Mizpah eastward. And they smote them until they left none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hold their horses and burnt their chariots with fire." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for Pastor Waterloo, for all that you do for us. Lord, I thank you for Brother Schuyler and his family, and for the other men that are on staff, and the deacons and the trustees, and for the church family. Lord, I thank you for Central Baptist Church of Ponca City. I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. I pray that you'd help me to preach, God. Help me to say the things I need to say. Help us to be good hearers of your word. Lord, help me to say the things that you intend for me to say, and help us to hear the things that you want us to hear. And Lord, I am not able to preach without you. Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight, and we'll thank you for it in advance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I was reading a few months ago in my Bible and came to verse 6. Samuel is an early riser. Stand up, Samuel. This is my son, Samuel. And I'll go ahead and introduce my family center to him. This is my wife, Marilyn, and she's going to stand up. We fight about this all the time. My son, Levi, the oldest son. And this is Wild Luke down here on the front. He likes to sit with his dad. He's a good boy. But Samuel is an early riser. He gets up usually right after I do. And Samuel got up one morning and I was reading my Bible, and I like to ask kids questions. Usually when you ask a child a question, you're going to get an honest answer. They don't care if they look smart. They don't care if they're supposed to say what they're supposed to say. They don't know. However, if a kid throws a rock through a window, don't expect an honest answer. "Son, did you do that?" "It was my brother, Dad. I saw it all." It's always going to be probably not true if they're in trouble. But first thing I asked Samuel is, I said, "Samuel, what is ho? H-O-U-G-H. "Dad, I don't know." So I explained to him what I thought it meant. I told him I thought it meant to hamstring a horse. And I explained what that was, and I told him that's what I think it is, but I'm not positive. So he thought about it for a second, and he said, "Dad, why did they have to hamstring the horses? Why couldn't they just use them?" I thought, well, that's a pretty good question. And I said, "Son, I don't know, but I would like to find out." So I started to study, and I began to study and what it was to hold your horses and what it did to them, and I thought I was pronouncing the word H-O-U-G-H correctly, but I wasn't. So I was getting ready to preach this sermon down in Ardmore, Oklahoma, for Pastor David Allen had knee surgery, and I was going to preach this sermon. And so I had a Heartland student with me because I don't lead singing very well. I can do it, but I just don't like to do it. So I took a student from Heartland with me, and he was leading the singing. And we were in the hotel that morning, and that morning we listened to Alexander Scorby. I said, "Brother Trevor, there's a whole lot of words in here that are long words, and I don't pronounce them right, like that big long M word. I don't even try." And we had that word, and so I started listening, and Alexander Scorby got to verse 6, and he said, "And you shall hawk your horses." And I said, "Hawk?" I said, "I'm from Kentucky, and you don't even spell hawk that way there." So I listened to it again, and again he said, "Hawk," H-O-C-K. Now, if you have a Tyndale Bible, or what is the other one, babe? Huh? Nelson, it may say in your Bible, hawk. It may be a King James Bible, but they've changed that word. But the word ho is hawk, and now you know that I'm not very intelligent, and I don't know how to pronounce words. And so this word hawk is in there, but I wanted to know for me, I wanted to know what in the world this meant for Rodney Johnson. So as I studied, I found this out. Hawk does mean to hamstring, making an animal lame. If you cut a horse behind his hoof, it will cut the horse's hamstring. From what I studied, I don't think it killed the horse quickly, but it made them where they could not be used in war or in work. It made them of no use. It made them of no use. I don't think it killed them quickly, but I believe they died. However, I believe a horse that's been hamstrung could live a while if you fed it. If you carry that horse food, if you carry that horse water, that horse is going to survive for a while. But he's not going to be of any use, but he will live. So I think if the horse lived, you would have to keep it alive by feeding it. So, as we get into the sermon tonight and try to find out what is in here for us, usins, y'all, yuns, that's Kentucky talk for us. Are y'all there? That's us. What's in there for me? What's in there for you? And so I want to know what's in there for Rodney Johnson. Johnson. I can't even say my own name. Joshua was also commanded to burn the chariots with fire. He wasn't to just set them aside and to save them after he had hamstrung the horses. He was to destroy the chariots. So I want to know why. I want to know why. Why did the Lord tell Joshua to hawk the horses, to burn the chariots with fire? The title of the sermon tonight is, "Will you hamstring your horses and burn your chariots?" Brother Rodney, I don't have any horses, Brother Rodney. I don't have any chariots. I promise, by the time we get to the end of the sermon, we all, including me, have horses and chariots. Things in our life that are to be of no use. Things in our life that are horses that we keep alive, that are sins in our life that we feed because we like them. There are things in our life that are horses that we think that are our sins that nobody knows about, that are our pets, that are our horses, that we don't want to die. You say, "Well, Brother Rodney, you don't know who you're talking to." Okay, there's horses in my life that I don't want to die. Sins. Secret stuff. Well, what are they? Well, it's none of your business. Will you hamstring your horses and burn your chariots? In verses 1 through 5, the storm gathers. When Jabin, the king of Hazor, heard of what happened to the kings of the south, he formed a coalition or a league with the other nations in the area to fight against Israel. Jabin was the head of the northern nations of Canaan. The name Jabin was synonymous with Pharaoh. If I say Pharaoh, who is he the leader of? Egypt. In those days, when you said Jabin, that meant that Jabin was like Pharaoh in this way. He was the leader of the northern tribes of Canaan. When you said Jabin, it was like saying Pharaoh. Pharaoh associated with Egypt. Jabin was associated with the northern tribes of Canaan. He was their leader. Did he, as the leader, think that Israel was too tired to fight? Did he think that the southern region lost because they had no chariots or horses? Jabin was confident in his numbers and superior forces, and he had put together. He thought, I have horses, I have chariots, I have a lot more men than Israel. I'll whip Israel hands down. The coalition assembles from the whole land, from the mountains, the plains, the valley, and the border. The Bible says that they were as the sand upon the seashore. Have you ever tried to count sand? Have you ever took up a handful of sand and even thought about counting it? The reason it says that is because I believe when Jabin looked left, he saw enemies. When Joshua looked left, he saw enemies. When he looked right, he saw enemies. I believe that they were a huge army, and Joshua's army was not that large. God's people had never faced an enemy of the strength and power of Jabin's army. The historian Josephus estimates that there were 300,000 infantry, 100,000 cavalry troops, and 20,000 chariots. My question still is the same. Will I hamstring my horses and burn my chariots? Well, Brother Rodney, I still have no idea what you're talking about. I promise we're going to get there. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them all up slain before Israel. When Joshua looked out, I've already said that he looked left and all he saw were enemies. He looked right and all he saw were enemies. Do you know that the Lord knows the thoughts and intents of your heart? He knows what you're thinking right now, this very moment. Whether you're thinking, this guy's kind of loud. He's kind of ugly. I doubt if anybody's thinking that. Ha ha. The Lord knows what you're thinking. He knows what's in your mind. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you're thinking about going out to eat with everybody after the service. He knows if you're just sitting there listening, putting in your time. In Haiti, they have these little cards, and they come to church, and they want their card punched because they want everybody to know they've been to church. They have a card, and they want you to punch their card. Are you here to get your card punched? What's your intent? What's your purpose? Why are you here? Well, Brother Rodney, if I don't show up, the pastor is going to be at my house next week, and I don't want to really talk to him about the things that are going on in my life. It's just not worth it. You say, that's not me. God knows your heart. You may have fooled the pastor. You may have fooled your wife, but I doubt it. Wife, you may have fooled your husband, but I doubt it. And I guarantee you ain't fooled your kids or your family. They know your secrets, although God knows it all. Joshua knew how many he had, how many men he had, and the task looked impossible. The Lord knows our hearts and the thoughts and intents of it. He knew Joshua's heart, and he knew and he heard that still small voice of the Lord saying, have you ever been afraid? There may be some young men in here and they'd say, I ain't never been afraid. Liar. I can tell you right now, my dad is a big man and he can hurt you. And I was afraid. I remember the first night I spent in Haiti as my family moved there in 2001. Where's Levi? Levi was three or four. How was he? Three or four? Three or four. I start good. Samuel was just walking. And you saw me in that video riding on top of a truck. That was the first time we came into Haiti. We had a house rented. The house was was furnished. We went into the house. We stayed that night. But the first night in Haiti, now I didn't know if I've told you or not, but I'm a Kentucky hillbilly. And I knew the first time I went to Haiti and came home, I was not going to return that place without a gun. So I took two. So the first night in Haiti, I'm in their house, and 100 yards outside of our house was a voodoo temple. Have you ever went to sleep to this? Wah, wah, wah! And then, pop, 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 boom, 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 pop, 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 pop. God, do you know where I am? Do you know where you've sent me and my family? They're upstairs in bed. I'm sitting down here on the couch with my gun about to die. I was scared. I was afraid. And I can't say that I heard a voice that said, be not afraid. But I'm telling you right now, that wasn't the worst thing I ever faced in Haiti. There were some hard times. But I'm telling you right now, God is always, always, always there. He knows where you're at tonight. Have you ever been sick? 2008, I was in a wheelchair. Have you ever been not able to do this? That's a bad day. When you can't walk. When you can't walk from here to there to go to the bathroom. That's a bad day. Have you ever thought God was through? God, are you done? Do you not have a purpose for me at all but to lay in my bed? Ever been mad at God? He knows you are. You ain't hiding nothing from Him. You say, well, you're a preacher. You're not supposed to get mad at God. I was mad. And when you're mad at God, you know who you're the meanest to? The ones you love the most. To that woman right there. And these boys. For them just to put up with me. And not say we're done. And still love me as much as they do. I don't know where you're at tonight. But I guarantee you He does. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows if you're afraid. He knows what you do. He knows what you don't do. He knows where you've been. He knows where you haven't been. He knows where you ought not be. He knows where you ought to be. I'm telling you, friend, you ain't fooling Him. He knows if you're mad. He knows if you're sad. But He is God and there is no other. Will you hamstring your horses and burn your chariots with fire? Brother Rodney, I still don't know what you're talking about. We're about to get there, I promise. Verse 9 says this. Total obedience. It doesn't say this. But total obedience equals total victory. Verse 9 does say, and Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. The word bade means commanded. He hawked their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. The word bade does mean commanded. Joshua obeyed what the Lord commanded him to do. The destruction of the horses and the chariots were to occur so that Israel would put their trust in God to win their battles and not in horses and chariots. What do you trust in tonight? Trusting in you? I have this horse. He's my favorite horse. He's this big, white, beautiful Clydesdale. Oh, I love him. I ride him all the time. There's a problem with him, though. He has this big word on the side of him named pride. He's a beautiful horse. I mean, look at him. I mean, I got every reason to ride him. At least I think. Not. Thanks, Luke. Children are such a blessing. I'm telling you, friends, what is it that you trust in? Is it yourself? Is it your job? I'm telling you, friends, look, tomorrow you can wake up and God take all of your health from you like that. The ability to walk He can take things from us that we're trusting in that we ought not trust in. He can take from us things that He allows in our lives. He can give us and He allows us to do this. Do you know what's happening if you're doing that? You're breathing. Do you know why you're breathing? He allows you to do it. And because He, the God of heaven, the God of earth, your Savior, if you know Him as your Savior, is allowing you to breathe. And He has a purpose for even you. You say, well, I don't know that God has a purpose for me. Are you breathing? Yes. If he was done with you, you'd be dead. Everybody in here in this room tonight is doing that, or else we need to dial 911 and get the ambulance here. If you're breathing, He has a purpose for you, friend. Horses and chariots were things men had a tendency to trust in more than God at a time of war. God would keep from Israel anything that takes away their complete trust in Him. Sometimes God must also empty us of things that are horses and chariots in our lives that we tend to trust in more than Him. The Lord allows trials in our lives for a reason, for a purpose. If the Lord commands us to do something, don't you think we ought to do it no matter how silly it may seem? He's in control, friend. Have you ever told God anything? When I was sick, the earthquake in Haiti happened. I sat on the couch for 5 days and explained to God because He didn't understand how sick I was. God, you don't understand. If I go to Haiti, I walk with a cane. And it's not smooth over there. He doesn't understand. I was telling God how sick I was. Dummy. He knows. God took me through MS to get me where He wanted me to be. I don't recommend having MS for anybody. But I don't have the corner on suffering either. I do know what it's like to ride in a wheelchair. I do know what it's like not to be able to walk. I do know what it's like to be mad at God. I do know what it's like not to be able to read my Bible, listen to Christian music, or even pray without crying. Because I thought God was done with me. Praise God, He's not. Amen. Sometimes, I've already read this, I won't read it again. Sometimes God must also empty us of things that are horses and chariots in our life that we tend to trust in more than Him. The Lord, the sovereign God, the ruler of all things, allows trials in our lives for a reason, for a purpose. Just because something bad happens in your life doesn't mean it ain't bad, but it doesn't mean that God didn't allow it. If the Lord commands us, and I've read this once already, the Lord commands us to do something, we ought to do it. So what does hamstring your horses and burning chariots have to do with me, Brother Rodney? Remember the kings that formed a alliance in verses 1 through 5 and had horses and chariots? They are types or a picture of horses and chariots that can rob us of spiritual victory in our lives. Jabin means discerning or reasoning. You know what we think about other people? Not as much as we think about us. Brother Rodney, you don't know what those people on the other side of the church do. You know, I saw them at... Yeah. You know, we can look at other people and we look pretty good. At least we think we do. My Bible says there's none good, no, not one. None, zero. Man reasons that he controls his own destiny and there are no absolutes. We don't control anything, friend. We get to choose. We have a God that allows us to choose to do right and wrong. Our world thinks there is nothing after death, so just live for today. This is called the wisdom of this world. You're off there, Brother Rodney. You ain't got me there. I'm not that way. I'm not like the world. You may not think so, but do you watch the news? I do. And watch other stuff on TV. Just watching the news, even if I don't agree with it, affects my thinking. We are bombarded even outside our home in this community. We are labeled for living for God. If you're going to live for God and for right, you're going to be labeled a fanatic, a weirdo, a Bible thumper, psycho. How do you know? Because I get labeled by my own family. Not my immediate family, but I won't let my kids play sports on Sundays or Wednesdays. Well, you let them do anything else. They're my children. I get to choose what they do and don't do. Well, Brother Rodney, there's no need to go overboard. There's no need to be a fanatic. If you're going to live for God in this world, if you're going to hamstring your worldly horses thinking and living in your own life, you'll be labeled weird, fanatic, Bible beater, Pharisee by people that are religious. There's pressure every day. Hazor means castle, surround, half-hearted, divide. Jabin was linked with false security. The horse of self. The horse of pride. The horse of money, people, my abilities. I don't know what your horses are. I know what mine are. I know what things in my life that need to be hamstrung. The word divide reminds me of a man trying to serve two masters, but never can. Who's your master? Who's in control of your family? Madon means contention. Jobab means noise or shout. This world we live in does not want us to live for God. King of Akshva, it means enticement or sorcery. The power of Satan works to blind and deceive men into human reasoning, false security, double-mindedness, contention and strife. Satan wants to blind our minds. He wants us to think the horses and chariots in our own lives are gooder than the horses in somebody else's life. Well, Brother Rodney, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I don't really have a whole lot of things that... It may be nobody out here. I'm talking about me. And when I look at other people, I think, that's not that bad. I mean, look at that guy. Look at that person over there. We measure ourselves among ourselves when the measuring rod is God. Why did the Lord command Joshua to hamstring the horses and burn the chariots? I believe one reason is to teach Rodney Johnson that there are horses and chariots in my life that he wants to be of no use. Some of the horses and that are still in my life is because I continue to feed them. Some of the horses that are still in my life is because I continue to feed them. They're my pets. Brother Rodney, you're a preacher. Uh-huh. And I have flesh. And I war with it every day. The reason I don't get victory over a particular sin in my life is I continue to feed it. It's about obedience. Joshua is successful because he obeyed the word of God. Look at verse 9. And Joshua did to them as the Lord bade him. Verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses, the servant, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. Joshua obeyed. The end of verse 15 says, he left nothing. He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses. The answer to my son Samuel and to us tonight is we are to obey this book. This is the final authority. It's God's word. And we're to hamstring our horses and burn our chariots with fire, regardless of what people will think. The question is will you? Will you burn your horses and chariots with fire? Will you hamstring your horses? Will you obey? Total obedience equals total victory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would you please stand, please? You may be here tonight and think, I have no idea what he's talking about. If the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to say back to Him what He said to you. Are you for sure if you die today that you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure if you die today you'd go to heaven? Well, Brother Rodney, I'm a member of the church. I didn't ask you that. Brother Rodney, I've been baptized. I didn't ask you that. I'm asking, do you know for sure if you die today that you'd go to heaven? Sir, are there horses in your life that nobody knows about? I could name things. I'm not going to do that. You know, and He knows. Maybe no one else does. But I'm telling you, friend, He knows. Ma'am, are there things in your life that nobody knows about? Young person, I preached a message I believe God wanted me to preach. If God spoke to your heart tonight, would you just raise your hand and say, Brother Rodney, pray for me. I'll start on the right side. Thank you. Thank you. I'll pray for you. Anyone else? See your hand. I'm looking. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. Anyone else? I just want to pray for you. My pastor, Brother Sam Davison, used to say, if God's spoken to you, spoke to your heart, it may be nothing, something totally unrelated. It may be for a family member. It may be for someone that's lost. Would you come to the altar and say back to Him what He said to you? Let's pray. And we'll start the invitation. Lord, I thank You for this day. God, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You how You worked in my own life about hamstringing my horses. God, there were people in this auditorium that raised their hand that said this, a message spoke to their heart. Lord, I pray You'd be with them. Lord, there may be people in here that don't know You as Savior. We had folks at this church saved this morning, and that's a blessing. Lord, I pray that You would save somebody tonight. If they need salvation, they can come forward, and before they walk out these doors, know that they have eternal life. Lord, folks that raise their hand can know before they walk out the doors of this building that they've come to an old-fashioned altar and slayed or taking care of the horses in their life or something totally unrelated to that. I don't know. But God, You do, and I pray You'd help them tonight. Be with us in this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing number 155, Have Thine Own Way. If the Lord spoke to your heart, would you come? Have Thine Own Way.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, we pray God's blessings upon you. We wish you a great week, and we thank you again for listening.